Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show. It's hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. You can donate or subscribe at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. That's Vinny with a Y, because that's the most important question. And Eastwood doesn't go ahead, make my news. Look at it this way, ladies and gentlemen. If you support me, you basically support the rest of the activists and commentators, YouTube, whatever, by proxy. You know, because I let everybody come on the show. And I've just been thinking about, you know, I like to do one day a week where it's just me reading articles sort of thing, because the rest of the time we're just talking and giving other people a platform. And, you know, frankly, there's a lot of news to get down. And I haven't really been covering really news per se for like years of doing this show. I've mostly just been getting activists on. Occasionally news comes up, but most of it's just new information, which in my opinion, if it's new to you, it's freaking news, isn't it? Okay, speaking of getting to the news, I wanted to read out that article about how the real media blocked Obama's attempt at plunging nations into World War III. This is by Anthony Gudiardi. Gudiardi. That's an awesome name. The real media has now emerged in the first place. Oh, sorry. In the place of the depleted mainstream media machine, and has successfully blocked plans by Obama and his handlers to plunge the international community into a hot World War III scenario. And top advisors are on record admitting it. In a truly powerful augmentation of history, spreading the word over staged events like the Syrian chemical attacks has ultimately forced the Obama administration and its affiliates to push back their plans to launch military action. I think this is a bit of a theory. You know, I mean, I would like that to be the case. I'd just like to see some evidence that it's actually the alternative media that are causing this reversal to happen, and not the huge frickin' insanity that has been kicked up by people from all over the place, and the huge amount of the American people who don't want the war, and so on and so forth. You know, to say it's just the alternative media, it's a bit arrogant. Maybe. If it is the case, on the other hand, you know, woohoo. But, you know, I've become cynical over the years. Only a few years it took me. Because every time that the New World Order pushes the envelope, if we push it back, they start pushing it some more when we're not looking. It's what happens every single time. And, you know, they've already been involved in Syria for goodness knows how long, supporting the Al-Qaeda rebels and so on and so forth. So what difference does it make? Action in Syria that has admitted by the mega media has much more to do with instigating a hot war with Russian forces who continue to back Assad. Ultimately, by disseminating this information to what amounts to millions worldwide, we have also delivered talking points and analysis to prominent figures like Ron Paul and Pat Buchanan, in what amounts to both a very responsibility and massive reach. These top analysts were going on record highlighting the same points that I have been covering since the onset of the Syrian madness, articles that have been shared like wildfire throughout social media and uniquely viewed by several millions, and the decomposing mainstream media simply can't figure out how it's done. It's probably because we tell the truth and people actually want to hear the truth once they've got a taste for it. If they have a taste for BS, on the other hand, that's kind of what they like. You know, that you can see it sort of dribbling down the chin. You know, they haven't wiped their face properly. You've got the BS all over their face. I have had mainstream journalists inquire as to how we can actually influence history policy headlines around the world through platforms like StoryLeak.com. We are the media. The answer, quite simply, is that we are now the only media. You know, I actually have to agree with that statement. Because media is supposed to serve the people, supposed to tell the truth, supposed to ask questions. And the so-called mainstream media haven't done that for, I don't know. How long has it been? How long has it been since the mainstream media has actually been telling the truth and being on the people's side? Have they ever? Or has it always been a tool of the corporate scumbaggery to control the public consciousness? I think it's closer to that, don't you think? There's no longer the need to play into the psychological minefield of labelling certain sources alternative news, when we can go back to the leading Gallup polls and show that virtually no one trusts the mainstream media, and that's bad news for the six corporations that own 90% of the mainstream media. It's like, talk about building your house on sand. Oh my God, we've got mainstream media. We can own it all. Yeah. Let's spend billions upon billions upon billions upon billions of dollars on stuff that nobody trusts and nobody listens to. What you gonna do with your money then, motherfracker? There's a reason that former U.S. National Security Advisor and Trilateral Commission co-founder Zbigniew Brzezinski, the other co-founder was David Rockefeller, by the way. In fact, here's a Rockefeller quote for you. It came out of his memoirs, actually a book called Memoirs that he wrote. It was obvious what it was about. And let's look at conspiracy, ladies and gentlemen. Look, conspiracy is a secret agreement between people, all right, to harm another group of people. It's not a conspiracy if it's not secret, okay? In David Rockefeller's book Memoirs, he admits that he's part of a secret cabal working to destroy the United States and create a new world order. Here's a direct quote from his book, page at 405. What kind of voice does David Rockefeller speak in?
Is it like this? Like a demon voice? Let's just read it out like that. It'll be funny. For more than a century, ideological extremists at either end of the political spectrum have seized upon well-publicized incidents to attack the Rockefeller family for the inordinate influence they claim we wield over American political and economic institutions. Some even believe we are part of a secret cabal working against the best interests of the United States, characterizing my family and me as internationalists, and of conspiring with others around the world to build a more integrated global political and economic structure. One world, if you will, if that's the charge. I stand guilty, and I am proud of it.
David Rockefeller. Thank you, David.
You're welcome, Vinny. Great show.
Yeah, cheers, bro. Frack off.
Okay.
All right. I can be quite funny when I need to be. All right. Anyway, back to Zbigniew Brzezinski. I call him the little old Brzezinski because he's not big and he's not new. Says that there's a global political awakening placing a wrench in the wheel of the war machine. And quite frankly, we are driving that wrench harder than ever into the tank of the warmongering elite. As a result, they are becoming desperate and resorting to censoring real journalism through defining what a journalist is. But the fact is that as long as we continue to sound the alarm, there's a lot of spelling mistakes in this article, by the way, bro. Just saying. We will continue to see massive victory across the board. You know, just as long as somebody's got you know, decent information and what have you. But, you know, I don't think that the alternative media is really the only thing that you can point to say that, oh, we've really pushed these scoundrels back, haven't we? You know, I don't think so. Anyway, on to the next article. Pentagon prepping for, quote, large-scale economic breakdown. This is a old theme and written by the same guy, Anthony Gugliardi. High-level government documents reveal that the Pentagon is preparing in full force for large-scale economic meltdown and massive result via the U.S. public. Exactly what we are criticized for doing. You see, the Pentagon and agencies like the Department of Defense, DOD, are in full-scale emergency readiness, in their own words, for cataclysmic events that are believed to ultimately ignite riots in the face of chaos and economic collapse, because they love order out of chaos, okay? You have a look at the rites of Freemasonry. There's like a little quote or something, or one line after each degree, all the way up to 33. And the 33rd degree, quote, is order out of chaos, ordo ab chao. And that's what they love to do. It's the old problem reaction solution thing. Okay, you create the chaos, then you come in and restore order, and everybody thinks you're a fucking savior, when in actual fact you were the frack that fracked them in the first fracking place. Hate these people. And it's one of the reasons that we're seeing such a massive amount of spying on activists of all kinds, alternative news writers and personalities, and basically anyone preparing for themselves. I guess I'd probably be included in that list. The US government is dedicated to logging such information into a major database in order to prepare for the coming collapse that they are predicting in their own documents for all to see. Collapse predictions that have turned into, quote, war games by the Pentagon, which in 2010 were orchestrated to prepare for what the Pentagon dubbed large-scale economic breakdown and the disappearance of essential services like food. You try getting some freeze-dried food, ladies and gentlemen. No, seriously, go to any of the major freeze-dried food manufacturers. You'll be on a waiting list for a long time. And a long time. Months. Years, even. Because the government's come in and bought it all. I wonder why. In this same war games exercise dedicated to domestic response, exercises were ran in order to prepare for domestic order amid civil unrest. Military to stop domestic resistance. A thread that is seen throughout these tests is the concept that civil unrest will unfold and prompt military action against the public. One of the largest examples of this is the U.S. Army Strategic Studies Institute paper that talks about the threat of domestic crises that are expected to lead to massive unrest throughout the nation, spurring more paranoia into the notion that, quote, every citizen is a terrorist. The report starts talking about everything from economic collapse to a loss of functional political order brought upon by a hostile group within the United States that could access weapons. In such scenarios, the report discusses how the Department of Defense would then be forced by circumstances to come in and stop purposeful domestic resistance or insurgency. And interestingly enough, there's been two very strange and very interesting movies come out, one called Olympus Has Fallen and one called White House Down. Now, I remember a couple of years back, there was a movie called Deep Impact and a movie called Armageddon come out at the same time, you know, like asteroids and what have you. And then comes out in the news that, oh, there's this asteroid heading towards us and so on and so forth, and it went past us and whatever. And now they're talking, they're making these White House Down movies and talking about domestic insurgency, the main characters of which in both White House movies were insiders who were very close to the president, who betrayed him and allowed other dangerous Americans and foreign interests to come in and try and take over the frickin' White House and destroy the country. And so I think that these are propaganda films, essentially designed to demonize any kind of American domestic insurgency. All right. And here's the interesting thing. If Americans were to indeed rise up against their government, as I believe they probably should, preferably nonviolently, by stopping paying their taxes, stopping supporting their corporations by eating their fast food, and, you know, perhaps stop watching their media, and basically, you do everything directly opposite to what the mainstream American lifestyle connotes. That's basically it. That's what you have to do if you're an American. That's what you have to do as a New Zealander. New Zealand lifestyle. What's this? Oh, well, you know, you go, you get a slave job, you work real hard, get a quarter acre section, you have some kids, and then you retire. You can't do that, man. You really can't do that. You can't work for a future that doesn't exist. All right, I'm not going to say that now. You can't work for a future that doesn't exist. If you think that you're going to be free in the next 20, 30 years or whatever, if you just go to work, keep your head down, and not get involved, you know, listening to shows like this, that's waking up, okay? But after you wake up, you generally have to get out of bed, don't you? Don't you? Most of us don't want to get out of bed. We're okay to wake up, you know, the alarm goes off, you know, with, oh, my God, they're trying to destroy us. The New World Order taking over. You know, that kind of thing. Everybody likes a wake-up call. But not everybody likes to get out of bed. And eventually you're going to need a cold bucket of water chucked over you like I have and many others before you realize it. You know what? I can't stand idly by doing my own thing while the country and the world collapses around me. We need you badly to get involved and take the fight to the enemy. There's a psychological war going on, a very, very hardcore one that is being fought with information, with love, with creativity and integrity. If you're not willing to get on the front lines, or if you're not willing to support those who are already on the front lines from the rear, heaven help you. Because once all of this stuff gets into place, if we don't stop it, it's game over, Red Rover. There will be nothing you can do. They'll just turn your chip off and you starve to death. Okay? You don't want that. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Ladies and gentlemen, don't you go anywhere.
I hope you like a jamming tune. My reach is global, my tower secure, my cause is noble, my power is pure. I can hand out a million vaccinations, or let them all die in exasperation. Have them all healed from the lacerations, have them all killed by assassination. I can make anybody go to prison just because I don't like them, and I can do anything with no permission. I have it all under my
welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's Vinnie with a Y, because it's the most important question. It's the lighter side of genocide, because the world's so full of chaos and madness. If you lose a sense of humor, you'll go frickin' nuts. 13 killed in U.S. Navy base shooting. I probably should have led with this article, didn't I? You know, because this is like a... Ooh. What's interesting is this woman who's calling me a conspiracy theorist, and... then she comes out talking about this article about 13 killed in a U.S. Navy base shooting, calling it a false flag. So I'm a conspiracy theorist, but she's not, even if she calls stuff a false flag. I give up. Blocked. Retard. Hey, don't you love doing that on Facebook? You know, somebody's a douche. You know, just a complete and utter knob and isn't worth your frickin' time. You could just block them and you never hear from the scum again. That's good. Police say two suspected shooters still at large and one deceased after 12 people were gunned down in Washington. Now, isn't it an interesting, this happens on a military base. Did anybody shoot back? Did anybody shoot? I wonder. Is that Al Jazeera? 13 people, including one shooter, have died after a shooting spree at the U.S. Navy Yard in Washington, officials said. Washington being a gun ban zone and the murder capital of America because it's a gun ban zone. Because nobody can defend themselves against murderers. I wonder if the naval complex was also a gun ban zone. Interesting. Police were searching the Navy complex to track down the gunman involved in the attack on Monday morning. Police Chief Kathy Lanier said one shooter had been killed and that two other suspects, a white and a black male, were still at large. There's a white guy and black male. She said the suspects were not believed to be military personnel, but were wearing uniforms. Al Jazeera's Kimberly Hellcat, reporting from the scene, said that there was an enormous police presence in the vicinity of the Navy Yard after the attack. Two helicopters were flying over the complex and roads were blocked. Thousands of employees were initially told to stay inside the complex while multiple SWAT teams searched for the shooters. The Navy said the first shots were fired at 8:20 a.m. In the headquarters building of the Naval Sea Systems Command, where about 3,000 people work. I'm surprised it didn't get controlled demolition and get turned into dust. You know, you love false flags. But then again, let's say it was genuine. Okay. Who's genuinely stupid enough to dress up in military garb and go attack a military base by yourself? Who's freaking crazy enough to do that? Nobody? Really? It's just like, unless, of course, you were on some kind of psychotropic medications or whatever that made you go nuts and think that it was a good idea because you're just totally, completely out of your freaking mind, whacked out on pills. Fortress. Quote, we heard some sounds. We didn't know what it was. We had people running in the hallways, and we told everybody to evacuate a couple of minutes later. Tim Gyrus, a naval commander who was in the building as shooting erupted, told Al Jazeera. The fire alarm inside the building went off, which was a way to get everybody outside the building into the sights of the awaiting gunman, of course. This is probably why so many people got killed, because instead of like security on the base going to the armory, getting some AR-4 carbines or some stuff, blowing the frackers away, they go, oh my god, there's shooters outside, let's get everybody out of the building so that there's no barrier between them and the gunmen so that they can be more easily shot. That's a brilliant idea, isn't it? It's the same thing with the school shootings and stuff like that. Oh my god, there's a school shooter. What do we do? Huddle together in the classrooms close together so that you can all be more easily shot easily by a freaking gunman. All right. Gosh, the American public has gotten so dumbed down. It's unbelievable. Al Jazeera's Rosalind Jordan in Washington described the attack as, quote, shocking. Since the Navy complex... I'm being relatively insensitive about this, aren't I? Sorry. Since the Navy complex is a high-security facility. It's a fortress, she said. How did these guys get in there if it's a freaking fortress? If they're not already military personnel? With clearance so that they get let in and so on and so forth. It's a fortress with armed people running around. How did they not get popped within seconds? You know? These are the questions I want to ask. Adding that the staff need to present ID cards to get in and that cars are checked to get access to the complex grounds. The complex is located right next to residential buildings, businesses and schools, she added. Todd Brundage, an executive assistant with Navy Sea Systems Command, said he and other co-workers encountered a gunman in a hallway of their building on the third floor. The gunman was wearing all blue, he said. He just turned and started firing, Brundage said. Flights at Reagan National Airport were temporarily halted to enable helicopters to transfer injured to hospital. Janice Orlowski, a hospital spokeswoman at MedStar, Washington Medical Center, said the hospital was treating two civilians and one police officer who were in critical condition with gunshot wounds. President Barack H. O'Barry pledged to do everything possible to make sure whoever was responsible for the attack was held responsible. Whoever's responsible will be held responsible. Really? The people who are responsible will be responsible. Is that like the tall people will be made tall? I mean, what? Vocabulary people will be held accountable or will be brought to justice. Those are the cliche lines, Obama. You should know that. Oh, yeah, you probably don't know that because you didn't have a teleprompter telling you to say it at the time. He said the victims were courageous Americans who knew about the risks of serving overseas but would have not expected such unimaginable violence at home. How is it unimaginable? Ever hear of Waco, Texas? Where the ATF set the frickin' compound on fire and burned men, women, and children to death? How is this unimaginable? This is kiddie stuff by comparison to what the US government has done to people, which makes me suspect that the people doing this kind of shooting are probably US government agents. But of course, they won't come out in the mainstream media. But this is my suspicion based on no evidence. And unfortunately, those suspicions are normally proved correct. You know, that's the unfortunate business of it, isn't it? Naval Sea Systems Command builds, buys, and maintains the Navy's ships and submarines and their combat systems. It is the largest of the Navy's five system commands and accounts for a quarter of the Navy's entire budget. The Navy Yard complex is located 1.6 kilometers south of the U.S. Capitol. It includes a museum and the residence of the Chief of Naval Operations, among other buildings. Now, isn't that the exact same Naval Command building that is built in the shape of a giant swastika? Is this the same building I'm thinking of? I think it is. So in Washington, D.C., you've got giant Masonic phallic symbol called the Washington Monument, a gargantuan boob called Congress, which is incidentally full of boobs. It looks like a boob too, doesn't it? Just making the funny reference there, I'm sorry. And what else have you got? You've got the layout of the city itself is on a giant pentagram. The Pentagon is a pentagram. And you've got a giant swastika for the Naval Command Building. And it's got more Masonic lodges per square foot than any other country in the world. Than any other city in the world, sorry. And it's also the murder capital rate of the world. And do you see what I'm getting at here? I mean, maybe these things are totally unrelated. But still stands to reason that the copious quantities of scumbaggery going down, especially with lobbyists in town. All right. On to the next one. Coming back to New Zealand now, from Scoop Independent News from SciTech. Science advisor challenged on, quote, misleading climate report. Ah, yes, here we go. The Prime Minister's chief science advisor challenged on misleading climate report, Professor Sir Peter Gluckman. Oh, my God. Gluckman's everywhere. This scum. All right. I'm probably going to get surveilled by the GCSB and the State Intelligence Services and the New Zealand Police for saying this. Sir Peter Gluckman is scum. He is a evil person. He is a liar. Every time anything comes up, big pharmaceutical companies getting shamed because their pharmaceutical drugs that they give to kids causes the kids to commit murder-suicides. Who do they call? You guessed it. Sir Peter Gluckman. Fluoride starts giving people cancer and they wind up getting it out of the water because a bunch of reasoned doctors and dentists managed to convince the council that it's actually really, really bad for you and it's freaking toxic waste. Who do they call in? You guessed it, Sir Peter Gluckman. Misleading climate change reports and so on and so forth that are being exposed and they're destroying the New World Order apparatus and their ability to carbon tax everybody and control every single aspect of your life. Who do they call in to defend it? You guessed it, Sir Peter Gluckman. He is a fracking scumbag of the highest order. He's an evil, psychopathic scum. I hate him very much. He's been challenged by a group of scientists and engineers who have expressed their concern about the nature of his report, quote, New Zealand's changing climate and oceans, the impact of human activity and implications for the future, submitted in July 2013. The 12 signatories, all members of the New Zealand Climate Science Coalition. Now, Climate Science Coalition? Well, it sounds more like a coalition of the willing or a coalition of lying frickin' scumbags that are being paid by the establishment to produce and spew propaganda so that people can have justification for passing draconian legislation that will control every single aspect of your life because there's not a single human activity that doesn't produce carbon dioxide that you can control. Did I say that fast enough? I think I did. In an open letter to Sir Peter, have expressed concern at three aspects. Firstly, the timing and purpose of the report. With the next summary for policymakers from the UN International Panel on Climate Change, the IPCC, and I remember back in like 2009 or 2008, I think it was, we encountered these climate cultists. Oh, we encountered these climate cultists on Queen Street, and they're wearing polar bear outfits. Assaulted a friend of mine in them, of course, because I got anonymity. I love it. And I asked them, do you know what the IPCC is? Okay, there's people working for Greenpeace, getting signatures for climate change and so on and so forth to give to John Key. And he goes, no, you know, like he's proud of not knowing. Nope. These people have no idea. All right. The people who push climate change don't even know what a climate is. They don't even know what the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change is. They don't know anything. Okay? Which is perfect. Lenin called them useless idiots. Oh, no, no, no. That's what I call them. Lenin called them useful idiots. Because they're idiots, but you can still use them to push across your scumbaggery agenda. Can't you, Mr. Gluckman? Due later in September, asking Sir Peter.
Sir Peter. Yes, Sir Peter. Yes.
Why he would try to preempt it with information and hypothesis based on an IPCC report now 7 years old. Not only 7 years old, but almost every single aspect of it has been proven wrong, and nearly every single scientist of the 5,000 or so that was part of it, I think about 4,500 of them quit in disgrace because they took all of their stuff out of context and lied through their fracking teeth. I really don't like these people. They're very, very evil. We are perplexed by a report which purports to be independent but draws only on information related to one hypothesis, that of the anthropogenic nature of the source of climate change. For the last 2 years, two issues have preoccupied climate science. Many published papers have devoted years to considering to both the pause in the trend in global average temperature and to climate sensitivity. Both issues are essential, that the global average temperature has not increased in the last 17 years means that hypothesis that increasing carbon dioxide in the atmosphere increases global average temperatures is incorrect, or the climate sensitivity to CO2 is grossly overestimated. The report pays little attention to those issues, the group says. Secondly, they question the language of the report, in particular the use of phrasing. They will say and will mislead and will direct many to an alarming conclusion they claim is not justified by clear and direct evidence. Statements and conclusions of a political nature have no place in a report that purports to be a submission of scientific evidence. Thirdly, the group says that sources of information used for the report represent only one viewpoint in the debate about climate change. We are concerned that there appears to have been no endeavour to source information from those who do not accept such a viewpoint and who can offer credible evidence to the contrary. We believe this to be a bias unbecoming of what should be an impartial report. Thank you! In detail, the group confines its comments to four areas of concern: the New Zealand temperature record, sea level, ocean acidification, and extreme weather events. All right, we'll be right back after the break, ladies and gentlemen. Don't you go anywhere. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's the final segment here on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Okay. Toxicologists wary of adding medical properties to wine. That's an interesting one, isn't it? Oh, yeah. Now, I do think that there's a little bit of a danger here because we seem to be putting additives in everything, don't we? We have a caller on the line that's... Kyle in Philly, you're on the air. What can I do for you, bro?
I was going to talk about the global warming and how the story you were just referring to, the science being junk, as we've all known.
You know, actually, it's funny you should mention that because I've got like, I didn't even quite finish reading that article. And I was thinking to myself, you know, I really hate these climate change cultists. And I think I might spend an extra segment on it. So you've given me the excuse I need. What do you got to say about it, Kyle?
Well, I mean, everything from the hypothesis to the backing to the science is garbage, and it's a microcosm of how the New World Order does business. I mean, you fund the research that you want that has the outcome that you desire. You don't fund the research that you do that you don't want to have proven. And it's, you know, if you're able to prove that somehow human activity is detrimental to the Earth, well, then you can control all human activity. By the same token, you get laws passed, you get taxes passed. You don't have to do anything to say the problem gone. All you have to do is change your outcome and start going to the other science. It's everything that is wrong with science today. You know, like I said, the science that you want to succeed is funded. The science you don't want to feed is repressed.
Not entirely dissimilar from the truth being suppressed from people who say part of Scientology or something.
Well, that idea could be, you know, displayed across the board from vaccines to GMO to, you know, all kinds of different areas. And, you know, the simple fact that these guys have been caught over and over and over again, and their complex reason for why climate isn't changing or why it should change keeps getting more and more complex, while the people who say, no, CO2 isn't doing any harm, they've been the same for 20 years now.
Well, I was just thinking about this over the break. It's like I find it interesting how they get this somebody called Gluckman, because it sounds remarkably like Gluck, man. You know, for Gluck's sake. Well, I don't know how many of these people are even talking about this for. I mean, they can't have any credibility because they've basically never had any. I mean, from day dot, this frack has come out just basically pushing establishment lines on things that have just been proven over and over again, as you've so eloquently stated, Kyle, that are complete BS, have no basis in reality, and there are definite, clear beneficiaries of these types of policies that are linked to this type of scientific research. Now, these people out here that have put an open letter, there's a bunch of people, and I actually want to get all these doctors online here, especially this guy, Dr. Willem de Lange. He's a senior lecturer in the Earth and Ocean Sciences at the University of Waikato. I've seen him speak before. He's quite onto it. But they had these five questions, Kyle, if I may. Number one, why was information for the report sourced only from those to be known proponents of anthropogenic global warming and no information sought from reputable sources with offer alternative evidence?
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty substantial question, don't you think? Why does the report place such weight on the projections from climate change models, which are demonstrably inaccurate and have never been validated against real data? Three, why is the evidence that the world has not warmed over the past 17 years largely been ignored? It provides extremely strong evidence that substantial increases in CO2 do not produce dangerous global warming. Number four, why does the report include alarmist and misleading statements on the topics of sea level, ocean acidification, and the number of extreme weather events that are not supported by the evidence? And lastly, why is a report that purports to be advice of scientific evidence couched in blatant and misleading political terms?
Yeah.
Here's my answer to all of those questions, because they're completely and utterly full of crap.
Earth, and we were very lucky in 2010 when it came to this debate. In 2010, there was a volcano in Iceland, which I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce its name.
But I think it goes something like
this volcano released more CO2 into the atmosphere than the sum of human activity in recorded history. So one volcano, more CO2 than all human activity in the course of recorded history. Absolutely no change whatsoever. For me, anybody who's any denier, anybody who has any doubt about climate being affected by CO2, all you need to do is point to that one simple fact. And there's all of your evidence. If the climate change, you know, global warming components were correct and they were right, then theoretically right now we should all be swimming in the ocean and Denver should be an island and the whole world should be over and Kevin Costner should have gills swimming in the oceans or something. It's all BS.
Yeah. And every single time you turn around, there's just another one of these pathetic scum doing it. And what frustrates me is that not only, and big ups to scoop.co.nz. I mean, this news site had been brave enough to publish this article. But bear in mind, you know how many likes this article has, bro? Eight likes. You know how many tweets it's got? Two tweets. Okay, nobody's read it. All right, that's the reason why the climate change phenomenon just keeps going on and on and on and on, is because the people who should be reading the freaking evidence and reading the articles that actually expose the fraud are not being widely publicized. This is not front page. This was sent to me by one of my friends via email this morning, Kyle. Okay, it's just, see, you and I, we already know this, so we're very likely to come across these type of articles because we've got friends and family and so on and so forth that might be of the same similar persuasion. But the problem is this doesn't get out to those people who are so, it's almost like reverse redneckism, you know what I'm saying? It's like they've got, it's like hippies that have shotguns or something. It's crazy.
Well, it's okay, you're a guy, you're up at 7 o'clock in the morning, you gotta be at work by 8:30, maybe you're in the kitchen, you're getting a coffee, the Today Show is on, and they've got, you know, David Mayer D. Rothschild on there talking about his boat made out of plastic bottles, and he's doing it for global climate change, and what a hero he is. Well, that's it. You're gone. You're out the door. You're not going to take the time to sit back and say, or research and look at the fact that Rothschilds are setting up a climate change carbon tax bank in Australia, and that they clearly have benefits that will be in their pockets if they're able to prove man-made global warming. And like you said, it's just that surface knowledge, and that, you know, I hear what's presented in front of me, but on my day-to-day life, I don't have the time or the will or even the knowledge to want to seek deeper into these issues.
How can we stop this? And the answer is, I mean, it's a long, protracted battle, isn't it? You know, we can't just say, oh, look, you guys are a fraud and produce evidence. It doesn't work that way, does it? You can't just produce evidence and intelligence and logical argument to these people. It actually has to be, you know, I hate to say it, they almost have to be counter-brainwashed, like have it repeated to them a million times or something before they accept it without question. And then the irony is that they'll just be duped by whatever else the next thing is that gets repeated to them over and over again, because they never learn to think for themselves. And that's the problem with university these days, and in a lot of cases, is that they're not teaching critical thinking. You know, they're teaching people to be critical, of course, of people who can think, but not critical thinking.
There's no classical education being given anymore. People are told to read a book and memorize what happened in the book and take a test on what happened in the book. And there's no discussions about, okay, why is this book important? What are the themes in this book? How does it apply to life today? And the sad thing is that even if we do defeat climate change this go around, even if we do have the ability to completely discredit like we already have, and we're able to shut down all carbon taxes all over the world in 15 or 20 years, they'll be back again. And it'll be the same thing. There'll be one bad storm, or there'll be a Hurricane Katrina somewhere, and it'll be right back in the news that this is, you know, evidence of scientists being right 25 years ago. So it's something that needs to be integrated into our culture. You know, it needs to be something that is everybody on the front of everybody's mind, and everybody knows, just like they know, you know, who the judges on American Idol are.
Yeah. And this gets to the point where it's like, this is one issue, one of, I don't know, would you say we've currently got in our heads thousands or millions of different issues that we know a little bit about? Maybe millions?
We could do an entire show just listing off issues of things that are presented to us and are detrimental to the human society. But,
you know, that reminds me, I wanted to do a rap song, and in the rap song there won't be any lyrics, there won't be any rhymes, it will just be a list of things that people need to research, you know, a list of topics. And I think it'll be like a half-hour long rap song, like climate change, police state, false flag terrorism, chemical weapons, AIDS, so on and so forth. You know, it's just, It's just innumerable, and you really can't cover them all. And I think that's something that is really daunting to people, because look, you've spent how long in elementary school, how long in high school, how long in university or whatever, and it took you, what, 25 years or whatever to figure out that it was all BS, and you think that suddenly you're going to unlearn all of that and learn what the truth is in just a couple of years, and then you can go out and start convincing everybody of the truth? Hell no. You need to deprogram first and then actually program yourself with some useful information. Otherwise, you'll end up like a climate change model where it's garbage in, garbage out, all over again. Kyle, thank you very much for your call, and thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for listening in. And we will see you again tomorrow on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Please go to the homepage, thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. I don't have enough money to pay the rent this week, so I need about $100 for that. And I need about $80 in gas to get down to Hamilton because they're having a big fluoride conference there. And I need about $120 to fix up my car as well, so that will be possible. So I need about maybe $300-$400 give or take, just to make it through this week and do the important work. We'll see you again sometime.